Usually, when we build a skyscraper, we rely on a massive central core to hold all the weight. But what if you shattered that central pillar and suddenly every individual brick was powering itself? We've got a fascinating deep dive prepared just for you today.
We really do. It's such a wild concept.
Yeah, we are unpacking a recent Pentecost Sunday sermon to explore the ancient blueprints of a thriving spiritual community and, well, the mechanics of shared faith.
Right, going all the way back to the start.
Exactly. So just picture the historical Pentecost scene. There's a violent wind and these tongues of fire coming down from heaven. Okay, let's unpack this. Why use the specific intense symbols of fire and wind?
Well, what's fascinating here is that to the original audience, the people gathered for that ancient festival, these weren't just random weather events. Like, wind in the scriptures symbolizes the very breath of God.
Oh, right, like when God answers Job out of the whirlwind.
Precisely. And the fire is a direct callback to the Old Testament. It represents the pillar of fire that hovered over the tabernacle.
Ah, the portable tent where God's presence literally lived.
Yeah. So this signifies a massive narrative shift. God's presence is moving from a physical central building right into the lives of individual believers.
That is just, I mean, it's basically like upgrading from a centralized mainframe computer to distributed cloud computing.
That's a really great way to look at it.
The power is suddenly decentralized, it's pushed out into every individual node on the network.
Exactly. The locus of power completely relocated.
But wait, if this spiritual power is now inside individuals, how do they operate together without just isolating themselves? Because the autonomous nodes could easily just splinter off.
Yeah, that's the big risk, right?
Right.
But we get a blueprint for this in Acts chapter 2. The sermon relies on scholar Tom Wright here.
Oh, the four marks of a healthy church.
Right, yeah. He points to the apostles' teaching, fellowship, the breaking of bread, and prayer.
Which really highlights that Greek word used in the text, koinonia.
Yes,
Right.
exactly.
Meaning this deep, intimate partnership. I mean, early believers radically sold their possessions to ensure no one had need. It wasn't just casual hanging out.
No, not at all. And those four pillars structurally interlock. You can't just have the teaching without the fellowship.
Right. It's like having the software, but no hardware to run it on.
That's a good point. The shared meals, the breaking of bread, those are the actual physical vehicles for practicing that radical generosity.
But what happens when believers, neglect those pillars of connection?
Well, that's when things start to fall apart.
Yeah, the pastor had this super relatable analogy regarding Hebrews chapter 10. He said withdrawing from the community is like shrinking clothes in a dryer.
Oh, I love that visual.
Right. You shrink, and suddenly you can no longer fulfill your intended purpose in the fabric. You just don't fit anymore.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, that isolation is really a spiritual sickness.
Definitely.
The sermon quoted Saint Ephrem the Syrian, who called Christ the medicine of life to cure the disease of sin.
And the pastor noted that disease is far more infectious than, like, Ebola or COVID.
Yeah, because when you isolate yourself, you lose the antibodies of the group. You need others to lean on.
So here's a really serendipitous detail from the source. Toward the end of the service, Pastor Farad actually counted the modern congregation in the room that day.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and he found roughly 120 people, which is the exact same number of believers present in the original Acts chapter 1 account. So what does this all mean?
Well, it shows us that these ancient texts aren't just history. I mean, they are a living, breathing blueprint for how humans are meant to gather, heal, and support one another.
Whether it's 120 people or 12,000,
Exactly.
which leaves you, the listener, with a pretty massive thought to chew on today. If koinonia, that radical shared life fellowship where everyone's needs were met, was the baseline for community 2,000 years ago, how does our modern, often digitized definition of community fall completely short of that ancient ideal?